boys and girls, it is playoff time.
Larson has the advantage. Here comes the 18. He puts the ball back of him.
16 drivers battle for NASCAR's ultimate prize, but only one will be called champion.
And there's the gap between 1 and 2. Kyle Busch. And here comes Larson. Larson to the bottom of the track.
Under the lights of the nighttime sky on the beaches of Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida.
Time to put your armor on. Tighten those seatbelts, because we're about to go three wide on the track.
Kurt Busch right up in front of the 42. Now he moves out of the way.
The Three Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 starts right now. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's good, boys and girls? This is the Three Wide NASCAR podcast on the airwaves. EG3 in the house once again with you guys on this Wednesday evening, October 17th, 2018. Big D here with me as always, doing his thing, producing this podcast. And yes, we're getting closer and closer to the weekend in Kansas City. And of course, a second elimination race of these playoffs. And this, folks, will probably be the last recording until I get to KC. Don't know what I'm going to do yet either with one before a recording, another recording of the podcast before Sunday's race or not. Haven't decided that yet, but this is the final road to Kansas before we get up there here by the end of the week on Friday. I'll be heading up there getting ready, but probably be up there tomorrow. We'll see what I can find out about the Truex event here. Very here within the next, 12 hours or so, Big D. So, yeah, definitely excited to be with you guys once again. And the way the situation has been set, it feels like it's just the Super Bowl pretty much. So definitely excited to get back to Kansas Speedway to see some great racing this weekend. Of course, the Xfinity Series back in action after a week off, kicking off their round of 8 in KC. That's going to be a good one. Of course, the anticipation of the elimination race, where we have seen, where I've seen in person, some crazy ass things over the last several years. And this Sunday might match it. So we'll have to see what happens there. But first, before we get into the preview, a little bit about this weekend. Of course, everybody's been talking about the caution of cautions pretty much for whatever reason. Obviously, Talladega, the last time the Cup Series was there, Eric Almirola finally breaking that long losing streak, 100 and some 40 plus races. He is in the round of 8, obviously, with that. But Kurt Busch crying once again about the caution coming out on the basically the white flag lap, which by then, to me, the race is pretty much a wrap. But of course, I don't know. There's a lot of ways you can think about it. But here's the thing. In the truck series, guys, we saw Timothy Peters, of course, take out Noah Gregson there for the win. And caution came out after that. And those guys were halfway on through the backstretch. And anything else, that should have been held up. But obviously, NASCAR decided to throw the caution flag, and now's it. And Peters was out in front, obviously, with no few issues to deal with there. And then you turn around on Sunday, Matthew Benedetto hard into turn one, getting a couple other cars involved in that. And the caution does not come out, which Kurt Busch runs out of gas. Almirola and Stenhouse go to the high side, pass them, and Almirola and Bowyer lead the Stuart Haas horse 1-2 to the checkered flag. Listen, I can see what Kurt Busch is talking about. You know, he's up front leading, and that caution is waved around. He gets the coast to victory lane. Instead, they take it away from him, and he's left. But to see his teammate Eric Almirola, who's been desperate very, very desperate and obviously very vocal. But Almirola, he's had multiple chances to win this year and finally get it done. And it comes, the win comes at the right time for this team. But I can see what Kurt is saying. And then the neighbors with the gas can there. If you guys haven't seen that, that was pretty funny. Neighbors showing the support. Well, you're a day late and a dollar short on that. But yeah, Kurt Busch very upset with NASCAR for not throwing the caution, which we were on the white flag, and he would have won the race, and he would have transferred in to the round of eight instead. Almirola gets it, and oh, by the way, yes, my voice is 90% back, so very nice to have almost my entire voice back, so it's good here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. But yeah, I can see that. But on the flip side, you know, NASCAR, they got to be more consistent. Okay, so Saturday, we saw the caution where basically the trucks almost finished the lap while the wreck in the Cup Series race happened on turn number one, hard impact. They did not throw a caution there, in which had Kurt Busch fuming and fumes and everything else. Look, NASCAR, you know, I've heard the Steve O'Donnell was on NASCAR America with his explanation and saying that the drivers are okay, and then Chase Elliott didn't get an interview outside that the when he came out of the medical test center there. So he was kind of maybe pissed off about that. But look, I understand his safety. I mean, we've seen some hard wrecks over the years. We've seen some fatalities, whatnot. But hey, if you want to make it fair for everybody, you know, let's be consistent. Let's throw the caution out when need be. You know, yeah, that's a dangerous situation there. You know, you got drivers who has families, you know, have wives, you know, girlfriends or whatever. They're concerned about their significant other, guys, you know, with these hard impacts you see. And I thought I wasn't really paying attention to the last lap. I was trying to multitask and trying to watch what happened because I knew something big was going to go down. Obviously, we did not see the big wrecks last week, but that was probably the hardest one there. The Benedetto slamming the wall, and yeah, they could have caught a caution on that, but all the cars were pretty much gone at that point. The Truck Series, big impact on the backstretch, heading towards turn number three there, decided to cause caution. So if anything else, that should have been in the Cup Series. I mean, yeah, there's multiple ways you can look at it and all this other stuff, but hey, you know, everybody can't get it their way. And NASCAR last Sunday decided not to throw a caution. And in hindsight, Kurt is thinking, it cost me the race win, because you get to the white flag, it's game over, pretty much. Whatever happens, happens, and it's a wrap, right? And Kurt thought a chance that, hey, caution's out, and we can win this thing. Instead, he runs out of gas and finished deep in the field. Almirola goes on and win, not knowing, you know, these Stewart Haas cars obviously had some strong horses, documented on the post race this week. It's up right now. You have not checked it out, please go listen to it. Yes, my voice sounded a little different then than it does now, but please go back and check that out. Post race podcast from Talladega and all that fun jazz. But yeah, so I mean, we didn't talk about it more in depth then than I am right now tonight, but it just got me thinking, you know, you want to be consistent in NASCAR. You know, if I was somebody representing NASCAR, I would say, hey, look, let's just protect everybody's safety. Let's just throw the caution out and everything else like that. Yes, and yeah, I'm probably forgetting that everybody wants to get their money scores and see a checkered flag, everybody race back to the line, things like that. I get that. Yeah, yes, I'm a fan, and yeah, I'm going to be a fan this weekend at Kansas Speedway. You know, I want to see the thing play out too. But at the same time, in certain situations, again, there's that word again, that it just depends on a situation. And for Kurt Busch, it cost him probably a chance to transfer out of the 12 automatically to the Elite 8, round of 8, or like I say, the Elite 8 on the podcast. But yeah, Big D, I kind of chatted with you about that yesterday, about this whole thing. So it could go multiple ways. But, you know, with the comes the fans, and Steve O'Donnell at that point said, you know, looked at the drivers. Everybody was moving along pretty well, probably except for Di Benedetto. I wasn't paying attention to where those guys. I didn't even know Chase Elliott was involved in a wreck. You know, NBC didn't really catch that, cover that very well or not, because, and maybe then again, I was trying to do two things, really five things at all one at the same time while trying to catch the fiasco of this last lap at Talladega on a TV set. But yeah, so they didn't cover that all that well. They didn't get Chase Elliott out, which he tweeted out early this week and all other stuff, so they did not overallly cover it that well. So again, this caution thing's been a kind of a big topic this week heading in to Kansas, and we'll just see moving forward how they proceeded. But I'm not the big dog in charge of NASCAR. Steve O'Donnell is, and he made the call that was right. And we move on from there. The 3-Wide NASCAR podcast rolls on the road to Kansas. Couple days away. EG3 in the house with you in the EG3 garage one more time until we go to Kansas City. Big weekend for me. Big D, Mick Rose. Yeah, who's affiliated with this home, our home track at Kansas Speedway. And big news coming out of the Ganassi camp here. Prior to, and it comes at the wrong time, and Kyle Larson, Mr. Blunt, Kyle Larson, gets the team tagged, or was penalized today, hit L, that oh so bad penalty, the L1 penalty, resurfaces in the playoffs, courtesy for the 42 of the Ganassi Racing team, and the deep hole gets even deeper. Yes, Kyle Larson has had success at this racetrack. Kansas doesn't have that win, though. He's been successful at this track, been super fast, but this just gets even, the hole gets even more deeper for him prior. Now, we're not even at the racetrack yet, and Larson, he's going to have to pull his belt, big boy pants on, if he's going to make it out of the round on Sunday. The 42 Chip Ganassi Racing Team in the Marshall Energy NASCAR Cup Series received the all trouble L1 level penalty for an infraction found following Sunday's race at Talladega Super Speedway. Per NASCAR penalty report, the team was in violation of Section 10.99D of the NASCAR rulebook, which covers the damaged vehicle policy and mechanical repair. That rule states that regardless of how damage to a car occurs, the team only is permitted to reattach original body parts of the car to their original locations with fasteners and or tape only. And the 42 team reattached parts via metal tabs following, of course, an on-track incident where Kyle Larson spun in the middle of the race there with no contact, but the right rear tire, fender, and everything else were kind of messed up at that point. Huge penalty for the 10. And, of course, Chad Johnson getting fired and the car chief suspended for the race at Kansas Speedway here. David Bryant, he will not be at Kansas Speedway this weekend in the L1 penalty. Minus 10, and he was already, what was the number, Big D, that we had on the screen? He was like, what, 26? He already was in must-win mode from there, and now he really in must-win mode. 36 now to the 8th spot, which Martin Truex Jr. holds right now heading into this weekend. Boy, oh boy, and Kyle Larson, Big D, has been very vocal, really, over the past 2 months, frustrated. And look, obviously, we know how talented Kyle Larson is, and everybody, we've been hearing it, and I've said this multiple times on my podcast, on this podcast, you know, everybody's been saying, you know, Kyle Larson, he's the one threat that if you go to Homestead, he's in the championship, he's the favorite because of the high line, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's 400 miles plus away from not getting that chance once again. And we all remember last year, right in front of us, our seats in the middle of between, well, I would probably say, what's a good word? We're right across the finish line, but a couple of blocks over, if you will, sitting up high, good seats. And we saw it right there in front of us last year. Kyle Larson blows up, not even 100 laps into the race. And he just sat in the garage, obviously. Four wins last year. Engine blows up, and he missed it. He ended up missing the transfer spot, obviously, to the next round there. And now it's devastating enough. At that point, I thought last year Kyle Larson had an opportunity to get to Miami compared to this year. Obviously, this team has been inconsistent here in the second half of the year. Obviously, we've racked on this team. They're the best Chevrolet throughout the first half of the year. But Chase Elliott, Hendrick Motorsports, and sometimes McMurray, and even probably Austin Dillon at times, Ryan Newman, they've been right there in the second half. But while Kyle Larson struggles in and out, I mean, we see him being fast in practice here and there on certain racetracks. Bristol, for one, that comes to my mind, and they struggled, even though they finished second at Bristol there. Kyle Larson called out his team there, and obviously the frustration is starting to really set in for last week. You know, embarrassing. Dover called that an embarrassment. You're the fastest guy throughout the weekend until Sunday. You don't show up. Where you at? Where you at, son? Don't show up at all. And then here, slow, calls his team slow, and an embarrassment again, saying I could have banged my head against the wall. And yeah, this team right here, I'm sorry, but this team right here, and probably Mick Rose probably agree with me. This team is lucky to be in this spot. But again, yes, he's a threat, big threat still to win. I'm not gonna outside it by any means, because all this does now put him in must-win mode, 100%. So that's even more dangerous to think about Larson, and he's already thinking about Daytona 500 next year. Are you serious right now? You're in the playoffs. A lot of folks, Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Daniel Suarez, they want to be in your position. Still trying to get advanced to the round of eight, and you're worried about next year's Daytona 500 already? I mean, yeah, I understand the moment of, okay, you know, our speedway cars are too slow right now. You know, we got to work on it. I mean, you're in the damn playoffs. You should be worried about Kansas and how you can minimize mistakes and not worry about next year. You're still in the thick of possibly trying to Hail Mary it, possibly pull up a stunning upset win and move on next round. But instead, you're thinking about next year. I don't know the 42's team around right now, but I would probably assume that, you know, this round has been very frustrating for some of these big-name drivers in this round. Yes, Larson, Keselowski, unfortunate situations. Martin Truex Jr., same thing. You know, unfortunate circumstances, but he's somehow still in the final transfer spot heading this weekend to one of his, probably his bet, one of his best mile and a half tracks for the last several years in Kansas Speedway. Ryan Blaney, he's run well at this racetrack. He's won stage one. The last time we were at in KC, Ryan Blaney winning stage one. Kyle Larson, I think, won stage two. I'm pretty sure he did that, because this cat, obviously, we know how good he is on the high side. He was rolling that night until he and Blaney got together, and then all hell broke loose from there. Blaney not happy, and it kind of cost Kyle Larson the race. So we know Kyle Larson knows how to win. He just hasn't won this year. And with five more races to go, I just don't know. I just don't know where his head is at going into KC this weekend. I really don't. And it's really hard to judge, especially how dangerous he is. He's a threat on Mount Ass at really any kind of track, really, we could put at it. And obviously, he focuses more on driving the car than being at the shop with the guys and trying to figure out a little bit how to get better setting up cars for Kyle Larson. So, you know, I don't know where this guy's headed at. I think he's already looking forward to next year and mailing it in. And he's already said multiple times, including going back to that wreck, that somehow in that can of worms, he made it to the start-finish line and transferred him into the next round. And I don't know where his head is at right now, to be honest with you. And I don't think he's totally in it, focused right now on the rest of the year. I think he's just quit, really, to be honest with you. The way that he's sounding and all this other stuff, you know, that word embarrassment, you know, all kind of words telling me he's looking forward to next year. So he's basically mailed it in. That's telling me that you mailed it in. So for what it is, everybody can say, you know, he's a threat and all that. And he is. He is, again, folks. I'm not going to dismiss it, but my gut is telling me that he's melted in for this year. And, I mean, he's going to give it foul and effort. He's going to give it hell on Sunday. But I'm not going to dismiss that at all. But in my opinion, I think he's quit on this season. If he's thinking about, you know, okay, Speedway cars, what's thinking about Daytona 500 next year, you already quit. That's all I'm going to say right there. Folks, this is the 3Y NASCAR Podcast, EG3, with you guys in the EG3 garage area tonight on this special look towards Kansas for the final time. And I might do another podcast like I did before in May while in Kansas City the night prior to the race. I might do the same thing there. We'll see. I run the marathon, half marathon on Saturday morning, and we got on our itinerary could change. We'll see. We got the Xfinity Series racing. We could be going to a birthday party after the fact also. So I got a lot going on this weekend. Pretty excited to go up there again. I've probably said it 1,000 times already, but I'm glad that it's here, and I'm just anxious to get there overall. So big news coming out of the Cup Series garage. This is L1 penalty, big penalty there on Larson, and now he's in must-win mode. Switching gears real quick to the Xfinity Series. We begin the Elite Eight in the Xfinity Series this weekend. Like I said, Saturday the Xfinity Series kicks off the round of eight, and the eight drivers. Let's refresh everybody's memory real quick here on the Through Our NASCAR Podcast. Christopher Bell, Justin Allgaier, Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, Elliott Sadler, Tyler Reddick, Matt Tiff, and Austin Cindric are battling for an opportunity to run to get themselves a ticket to Miami Speedway, or aka Homestead, here next month. Bell rolling right now. Two of the three playoff races so far, he has wins. And the last time the Xfinity Series was on track, it was the Chris Bell party show. Christopher Bell gaining the advantage. And he has to fight, if you want to look at it this way, has to five more playoff points than Justin Allgaier has. And in this round of the playoffs for the Xfinity Series, of course, we got the Kansas Lottery 300 coming up on Saturday on NBC. Then Texas off week, then Texas, and of course the finale in this round, ISM Raceway, the new look conversion ISM Raceway, which I'm excited to see how that looks. So a lot can go into this, and of course, yes, last time I did not go to the Xfinity race last year, but last year, Christopher Bell put the move on Eric Jones, slide job on Eric Jones to win the race there. So Bell is the defending winner there. And some of the guys in, I'm trying to pull the injury list right now, who's in it. And it's just obvious the Cup guys aren't in it. But Christopher Bell has an opportunity to seal his ticket early to Homestead, a win for any of those guys that I mentioned. And they are on their way to Homestead, obviously. Shane Lee in the 3 for RCR. Of course, Ross Chastain, who has been eliminated. Let me take a swig of my water real quick. All right. So Shane Lee, as I said, in the three, Ross Chastain back in the four, eliminated for the playoffs. And then here's a name that I have not seen. Ja Jr. Avila in the eight. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading this for the first time tonight before we go up there. Ja Jr. Avila in the number eight. Ryan Preece in the 18. Obviously, Brandon Jones eliminated. Back at Carr. Spencer Gallagher back in the 23 machine. We're going to see John Hunter Nemechek in the 42 for Ganassi. And Chase Briscoe in that number 98 car. The last time we've seen Chase Briscoe was at the Roval, where he won his first Xfinity race. And which brings up that 60 car, Ty Majeski. Will we see another wreck from that 60 car? 80% chance we might see that happen. But see, no cup guys, so really is wide open. But right now, the favorite here from this race, in my opinion, is that 20 car of C. Bell. And he obviously, you know, Garrett permitted a couple problems. He's going to be in. So we'll see what happens there, obviously. Take a look back at the standings real quick. Who's behind that cut line going into the first race? Here, I believe, was Cole Custer and Elliott Sadler are tied. So Cole Custer, Elliott Sadler are tied around that cut line. Reddick, Tiff, and Austin Cindric. So again, really tight in there. You can't have a mistake. And it really goes back to Daniel Hemric. Daniel Hemric doesn't have that many playoff points either. So really, when you look at it from 3 to 8, you do not have wiggle room for a mistake, a loose wheel, or mechanical failure, or anything like that. Mistakes on the racetrack, late restarts, don't start very well, things like that. So that's really intriguing. So a mistake, if an early mistake's made, I don't think you can recover, especially with it that tight. 3 through 8, the lack of playoff points in that regional area right there, Big D. You make a mistake, I've been saying all playoff season long, you don't get off to a good start in round one, you're not going to recover very well. That includes some of the guys that's been really fast. Obviously, everybody's been talking about Cole Custer and that ass whooping last year in the season finale at Homestead. He wasn't in the playoffs, but he still put the ass kicking on the Xfinity field last year. And everybody's saying, comparing him to Kyle Larson, how good he is. Well, you know, Cole Custer hasn't won a race all year long. He can't make mistakes. Daniel Hemric's been obviously strong, and y'all know the story is on him. Don't need to mention it. Hasn't won an Xfinity Series race yet. Will we see him live in person win it? Have to see, find out. Have my picks at the end of this episode. So a lot can happen. Obviously, Allgaier escaped from a bad first round due to outside circumstances. He can't afford. I mean, yes, he has playoff points, but he can't afford a start like he had in the first round. Really, none of these guys can. Otherwise, it's going to really magnify. Now, with it just being 8 drivers, mistakes, bad starts, really will be magnified heading in there to KC on Saturday on NBC. Check the NASCAR schedule for the time. I believe it was 3 the last time. Let's pull it up. Big D, pull it up on the screen. Case Lowry 300. Yes, it is 3 Eastern Time, which means 2 o'clock Central Time right here in the state of Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, in the Central Time Zone. We will be up there as soon as we get done with festivities. Or I will be up there as soon as get done with KC Marathon festivities. So busy Saturday ahead for myself there. So very anxious to get up there and see the Xfinity Series boys and how that race is going to play out. Very excited to see that with no cup guys in it. And, of course, the main event, the Hollywood Casino 400, a 1:30 Central Time, just after 1:30 Central Time start, which accumulates to 2:30 on Eastern Standard Time Zone. and y'all know the situation. Boyer, Truex Jr. above the cut line. Brad Keselowski, first one out with 18 points. Now you have Ryan Blaney, I believe it's 24 out. Then Kyle Larson losing precious points from 26 to 36. And of course, Alex Bowman way out of the right field wall, 68 out, and needs, yes, the Bowman, the showman to happen and make match happen. We'll see if that happens on Sunday. But yeah, man, I mean, Sunday, y'all know what it is. Obviously, you know, I told you earlier, Big D, I'm glad I'm not going to be watching this on TV, because I'm not going to be paying attention to the points, whatnot. It is going to drive me crazy, because yes, Truex is there on the verge of possibly being eliminated from playoff competition. I ain't got to worry about all those points, seeing all that. I know what he has to do. Well, these drivers know what they got to do, but I know specifically what he has to do to try to advance himself to the next round, or better. Yeah, he just try to go and win that thing, because we've seen it live in person. Fortunate to see him do it back to back last year, sweep the race at Kansas, nearly knocking off Kevin Harvick back in May there. And he wasn't even in the ballpark in the first half of the race, and then Cole Pearn making magic on that 78 and that, and all of a sudden I see that car in the top five late, and then stay out, and nearly, if that caution don't come out, where William Byron who hit the wall hard in front of us. I don't know why, for whatever reason. All the excitement is around our area. I think it's pretty good. I don't know why. It's just a funny feeling. But anyway, we saw the big wreck in front of us. Byron, Newman, and those guys. Kansas were on fire and whatnot. Last time we were in Kansas City. So, yeah. I mean, you know what you got to do. I know what he needs to do. You just go out and do your thing. But I'm worried about, and I'll probably be the first to say it, the outside circumstance. I've said this the last few weeks, is outside circumstances, things that you can't control, like the pit crew. Obviously, when you rank the pit crew, these last remaining 12 teams, you probably put 7-8 number one, unfortunately, because of loose wheels, leaving equipment on, speeding on pit road, whatnot. And you find out one of those. I mean, yeah, last year, you know, given a situation last year, in the front row, lost. I do not have to name on top of my head right now. Lost, unfortunately, the crew member last year. Everything surrounded that day last year, and the way that team rebounded last year, you know, unfortunate, stupid penalty last year of getting a head start before the start finish line or whatever. That bullshit. And then, not only that, I think he sped on pit road or something like that happened. On top of that, I think he sped on pit road or something like that, had to come back in, all this other stuff. That happens on Sunday, you're putting yourself in danger mode. This position he's in, and that crew better be on lockdown on Sunday, because you cannot have mistakes like that and expect to win, especially you want to get to the next round, especially when you have drivers like Keselowski licking their chops, Ryan Blaney, who ran very well back in the spring, Kyle Larson, who was a rocket ship back in May also, that we saw. So these are that's what's scaring me going in here, to be honest with you. I mean yeah, they struggled in May, but they got right, and they were one of the cars that tested a few weeks ago. And Chase Elliott, who's already locked into the next round, was the fastest cat in Kansas there for that test. I'm anxious to see how all these teams that tested get translated, or if anything, because it's going to be a little chilly, a little bit, not snowy. We don't expect snow, so I don't know where Brett Griffin, I don't know, those guys got their weather from, but ain't expecting snow, so I ain't seen nothing. I mean, yes, it's probably ice snowed a little bit. Oh, at least here in Little Apple on Sunday night, it was a little too early for that. Way too early for snow right now. We see enough of that at Martinsville. but yeah, so no snow. Let's not worry about that. We're expected to get 65, between 64, 65 over there. So, yeah, it's going to be a typical fall Kansas weather day. And it's going to be critical not for any of these guys not to make mistakes. Yeah, you pretty much got to be perfect, especially in these stages. That's where the point's going to come from. I think that's what's going. That's where money's going to be made right there. Stage one, stage two. You get points there in both stages. You can pat on to that lead and possibly gain ground on Bowyer, maybe even Kurt Busch, and vice versa. Bowyer can gain some. Keselowski can gain some, vice versa, and all that. Blaney was fast there. Their confidence ain't shaken. They think they can go and have a solid run. Why not? So a lot of things have to play in your favor in order to give yourself a chance. Just give yourself a chance. I mean, no matter how the season's going, or the round's going, whatever, give yourself a chance to either win the race or get yourself to the next round. Hey, like I told you, and another friend texted another friend this week that we might see out there. It don't matter. I don't even care if he don't win. I just want to see him transfer out of this round, because it's been kind of an unfortunate round for him, for MTJ and that bunch. You know, they should have had a top 10 at Dover. Ran like crap at Talladega last week. It was was an embarrassment to me. I mean, yeah, they had the unfortunate situations of the rear axle problems and whatnot, but that was just not them. So hopefully, you know, this is not time to be holding stuff back. I mean, this is your last year anyway. First row's last season anyway. You shouldn't be holding anything back. I mean, even Mark Truex Jr. said that, you know, in the press conference in Alabama. You know, the confidence ain't shaking. You know, they have done a nice job preparing these cars they've had, except for Talladega. So they cannot have no problems like that. And at Kansas, that's the only thing that worries me going in here. We've seen crazy shit happen in front of us over the last several years. You know, NASCAR.com had something, had pictures of Kansas being one of those tracks that puts it in your championship year and whatnot. Obviously, we've seen that. Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., one of the races, hit the same turn four wall hard. We were looking at that. We were there for that race. And obviously, last year, other than Kyle Larson, let's not forget what happened with Matt Kenseth and that whole issue on pit road last year that took him out of a possible, probably maybe, championship four berth. He ended up winning Phoenix, or whatever you want to call it, ISM, and that stole an opportunity to transfer him to the next round. He was eliminated. So last year, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Larson, they were both eliminated. Keselowski, I think, the year before that, or was that last year? Then that was last year. Yeah, that was last. No, that was the year before last year. Keselowski hit the wall, spun, and ended his chances there. So yeah, I mean, Keselowski's in that position now. So a lot of stuff, crazy stuff, can happen in the Wizard of Oz of Kansas. We've seen it. We've seen it in person, and I'm afraid to say this, but I think we might see something really crazy go down on Sunday. I just don't know what that is yet. And anxious to find out what it is, what car is going to be showed to us, to all of us, here this weekend. But if you do the job right, dot your I's, cross your T's, you should be able to move on to the next round. And what we see is the crazy stuff happen to Martin Truex Jr. As well. I mean, lead the most laps in the spring race. When you had it in the bag, and then one of the lug nuts, the final pit stop of the night, one of the lug nuts hits a valve stem or whatever, and he had a loose wheel or something after that, and it just all went to shit after that. Yeah, so MTJ, unfortunately, he's been on the side of that on multiple occasions, so I just don't know which occasion he's going to be on side on. That's the only thing I'm worried about. And really, not just for him, but for all the rest of the guys who are trying to get into the playoffs for one last time. I mean, we shouldn't be talking about Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch. They're pretty much locked, especially Kevin Harvick, locks into the next round. Kyle Busch is like 46 to the good. He should be good to go to the round of eight as well. Joey Logano's 39. He ain't officially in there yet. 39 to the good. Kurt Busch in there. Of course, Boyer and Martin Truex Jr. 18 points out. And still, I'm still stunned that he's above the cut line. After all that, he was below the cut line most of the night, or most of the afternoon last week. And yeah, if the few issues don't happen, yeah, he's behind the cut line for sure. Because he was at the most 8 back from whoever was in front of him. So yeah, man, that's just luck of the draw, and maybe that could get in. Maybe that could be a second opportunity, second chance for that team to get the heads right and make something happen on Sunday. But we'll see what happens. And oh yeah, oh by the way, he is the defending winner. So there goes that. And as a fan, definitely would love to see really him win again and assert himself to the next round. You don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, Keselowski knows how to put himself in those type of situations, especially late, where Paul Wolf will probably do the strategy thing. Do it differently. You know he's going to do it. You got to go in and know he's going to do it. Kyle Larson a threat still, and probably even a more threat now that he's 36 back and has nothing back. But I just don't know whether the focus is at on that team. Obviously, Alex Bowman, yeah, he's going to have to make match happen. Ryan Blaney, he has been solid at this particular racetrack and pretty good. And pretty sure that I looked at his numbers earlier. He has 3 top 10s at this racetrack, and I believe all of them come in the fall race. I'm pretty sure of that. Well, actually, one of those happened last May, where he finished second to Martin Truex last year. But he's run this race pretty good in the daytime, so that he's a good threat. Also, I've already said that, so you just don't know what you're gonna get out there in KC. But strap in, folks. We're gonna find out here very shortly on what the outcome is going to be after 400 miles. Of course, we basically know half the field, half the Elite Eight. Almirola winning last week, Chase Elliott winning Dover, they're already locks in. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, we already know pretty much half this round of four. The other question is, which other four are going to join them? So that's the big question lying in, guys, to this race on Sunday. The Hollywood Casino 400 Road to Kansas is almost here. Thank you for tuning in to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. All right, I kind of hit it on picks already, and I'm going to start with the Xfinity Series. Yep, this one, I'm excited for to see. We're excited for to see this race unveil in front of us, and for whatever reason, I mean, yes, Bell has been the hot hand going into this thing, and I'm going to start with my sleeper, my dark horse for this race. I'm going to roll with the 42 of John Hunter Nemechek in this case here. And the winner is actually not going to be Christopher Bell. It's going to be somebody else that I haven't rolled a horse yet on. I mean, yeah, I want to pick Elliot Saller? I'm just going to pick Daniel Hemric. We're going to stick with that. Daniel Hemric, my winner, and John Hunter is my dark horse for the race on Saturday. And you know where I'm going to go with the Cup Series already. I've mentioned it. I've already hinted at it. You know, folks who already know, listen to this show, know what I go for. So y'all know what it is. MTJ, that 78, is going to pull something out with back against the wall, pull something out, and get himself to the round of eight. And this is, like I said, this is probably a perfect time for a statement race. This is it. A track that you had multiple success at. great time for this team to get their act together. You don't have to worry about Tyler, no random ass tracks anymore. This is go get it time. And this is your final five races at Furniture Row Racing before it shuts down for good at the end of the year. And I've said this multiple times to multiple people that Mark Trex Jr. is going to have to win this year if he's going to advance through the round. And not only this, that one, if he were to transfer, he's going to have to win that round to get the homestead. I said that. I've said it multiple times, and we'll see if that comes full circle on Sunday. My dark horse going to go a little off. I'm going to stay in the Toyota camp, actually, with Denny Hamlin. Where has this Hamlin been? He has finished into the top five in the last two races since being eliminated from contention. I'm staying in the Toyota camp. Denny Hamlin is going to put that FedEx Toyota in some good situations this weekend. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it is with that team. The pressure's on. They can't do shit. And now the pressure's off. All of a sudden, they're back in the top five. I don't understand that at all. So, yeah, that you got me on that one. But Denny Hamlin quietly, you know, finishing in the top five in both races. Of course, finished second to Chase Elliott. And then finished backed it up with another solid run at Talladega. So, I'm going to roll with that, with him on that. Denny Hamlin, my dark horse, for another good solid run. Probably another top 10 for him. And Mark Trex Jr., he knows what he's got to do. You know, it's homie pick time. Yep, I'm going to be rolling with him all the way, hopefully, to the next round. So, there is that. There are my picks, folks, for this weekend. And again, when I get to Overland Park / Kansas City, we'll see if I do a preview show or whatever. Or I usually do, or I've been doing periodically this year, was an on-the-grid special in the starting lineups before the race. I've been doing that pretty in and out, been out in and out with that. We'll see how that goes. See how the schedule will go. Actually, Saturday's schedule will go. It could get crazy, so I might not be able to do that. But, yes, there will be a post-race or back to our normal schedule. Road to Kansas comes to a close tonight, and we're back to pretty much our normal schedule, really, with our playoff reaction of Kansas next week with all the reaction of what happened, who's in, who's out, who's moving on to the round of eight, and who will be left behind. Yeah, we're going to have that covered and obviously get you ready for the round of eight. Not only that, but the truck series resumes action with the next round of their playoffs as well, as they kick off their round of eight at Martinsville next weekend. So a lot going on. And yeah, a lot going on in Kansas City this weekend too, Big D. We got the Kansas City Marathon, which I'll be a part of on Saturday. Big weekend in Kansas City. Obviously, we got the race on Sunday, or races this weekend. And we got the Kansas City Chiefs going on. Yeah, I'm not a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but I've watched a lot of Chiefs football, over the past few years. And, you know, yeah, they lost. That was a hell of a game against the Patriots. Yeah, they got their first loss, but they welcome in the Cincinnati Bengals in prime time. So, Kansas City is going to get lit up this weekend with a lot of action going on and a lot of excitement around the city. And, of course, Star kicked off with my event I'm taking part in, the Kansas City Marathon, obviously, with the, I think they have 5, 10, half, and full. I'll be participating in the half, getting after that, and then go see some racing Saturday afternoon, and then possibly go to a birthday party for one of my friends I haven't seen in a couple years up there, so haven't figured out where they're going yet, but they know, but I don't know where they're going yet, so I got to get that figured out. And of course, Sunday, the main event, Hollywood Casino 400. Somebody's fate, four drivers' fate, is going to be decided. Well, check that. Seven, probably eight. Well, let's just check it like this. Eight drivers' fates will decide. Only four spots are available. Who's going to get those four spots? Well, we will know We will know by probably be between 5:30 and 6 o'clock Central Time. We will know, definitely know, when the sun drops, who's in and who's out. Follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie again on Twitter at 3Wide_FastEddie. And hopefully, coming out of the weekend, I can still have my voice. And Podcast Central, y'all know what it is. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. You can follow it, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spotify, Stitcher. We got it all laid down for the most part there, except for a few podcast sites, but we got most of them run down, and we're almost caught up on SoundCloud as well with the latest episodes on that. I've been doing a lot of work with that, so we're on SoundCloud as well, and please rate and review whenever you can. And this is just not for my benefit. This is actually a way to get our podcast continue the road. We're closing in on the 2018 campaign, ladies and gentlemen, that quickly. And you don't want to miss a moment because things are getting interesting. Just beginning this round, we saw what happened Dover at the end of the race. We saw what happened at Talladega. And we're definitely going to see our share excitement at the Kansas Speedway this weekend with, I don't know how these things work, these elimination races. You know, like I said, I'm glad I'm not watching these in front of the TV screen, but it's going to drive me nuts. You know, with the point, trying to keep up with that, I can go, as a fan, not worry about that, but at the same time, know the situation of these drivers and what they're trying to do, and let's go have at it. I'm going in with the mentality, hey, we got a chance to win this race, and move on. I mean, who wouldn't like that? I mean, yeah, you're close to the cut line, but who wouldn't want that? Who, especially a defending champion. You know, your back is against the wall in any sport, and you need to come up big. You need to answer critics, things like that. You need to win a series, stuff like that. Game. This is kind of like a Game 7 moment here. Walk off, get the job done. You know, you just got to go do it in execution. That's the word I've been looking forward to all night, Big D. Execution is the big word of the day on Sunday. Whoever executes the most is going to walk out of Kansas, transferring to the next round. That's plain and simple. And we'll see which four drivers will join Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, obviously, and the winners of this round, Eric Almirola, first win in 4 years, and Chase Elliott, who won back at Dover to start off, kicked off this round. Man, Big D, let's pack it. Let's start pack the bags. Get it ready. Get our bags ready. We're actually going to this racetrack this weekend. So pumped up. I want to say I'm cloud nine right now. Not yet, anyways. But I'm just antsy, ready to get to the racetrack. Let's get ourselves situated. Let's get to Kansas City where anything can happen. We've seen it over the last few years in Kansas City. And the last time we're at the track, we saw a thrilling finish. Kevin Harvick getting past Martin Truex Jr. on the white flag lap and holding him off for the fourth win of the year. Then, and he has an opportunity to sweep the races at Kansas Speedway again. So we'll see what happens there. But for right now, we're packing our bags for Kansas City. We appreciate y'all listening to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. And, oh, by the way, that's going to be a wrap, ladies and gentlemen, on this edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the stage has been set. Let's get ready to do this thing, y'all. Have a good week. We'll talk to you either on Saturday night or definitely Monday night for the post-playoff reaction of Kansas. Who's in and who's out? We out.
Podcast with EG3. Be sure to stay tuned for next episode. Who's moving on and who will be left out? Catch us next time going 3 wide.